This is the Pacific Way podcast, bringing you stories that matter to the Pacific people.
The pleas of the people of the Pacific rang loud and clear for the world to acknowledge the ongoing battle the region faces due to the impacts of climate change. At the United Nations Climate Change Conference, or COP27, held in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, in November 2022. With the slogan, "Together for Implementation," COP27 focused on delivering greenhouse gas emission reductions and helping ensure a just transition to a net zero economy. Representatives from 14 Pacific Island countries and territories attended the conference to raise their voices to advocate for the target of 1.5 to stay alive. Six climate experts from the Pacific Community, or SPC, attended COP27 to support the Pacific Island countries.
My name is Dirk Sneyman. I'm the Climate Finance Coordinator at SPC. SPC is supporting Pacific countries to advocate for access to climate finance through keeping them updated on the latest trends in climate finance in terms of access, availability, and modalities. And to add SPC's voice to the voice of Pacific countries and to make sure that these issues are known to donors and to other development partners so that they're aware of the implications in the long term for adaptation and mitigation.
SPC's Climate Change Information, Communications and Knowledge Management Officer, Maeva Tassin, was also part of the SPC delegation. Maeva spoke to her counterpart from the Secretariat of the Pacific Regional Environment Program, or SPREP, who launched the target 1.5 to stay alive.
My name is Nanette Wonton, and I'm the Acting Communications and Outreach Advisor at the Secretariat of the Pacific Regional Environment Program. So our Pacific main communications campaign this year is the 1.5 to Stay Alive campaign. We selected this because we need to know that everybody that has signed on to the Paris Agreement is achieving the promise of the Paris Agreement, and where you're not, we need to be able to give you a reminder as to what it is that the whole world needs for survival, survive and thrive to be exact, and so that's why we've done this. The campaign itself, it's revolved around Pacific Island people sharing their experiences through climate impacts and what they have done to survive. And these can be things as small as, or as big as actually, surviving a tropical cyclone and what they've done to survive it, be it tie their house down, listen to radio broadcasts, have a kit ready to prepare and be prepared to evacuate.
Pacific Youth Lead for Climate Warriors, Joseph Sikulu, who is also part of the Pacific Youth Delegation to COP27, says, all they want is to be heard by the world leaders.
What we wanted to focus on this year is to try and bring the voices and the stories, especially of our young people, to help support the work that's happening around loss and damage. And I think the thing that we see that is really important is that we want to ensure that our young people are well represented in that conversation, but also that what comes out of it is a reflection of who we are and what we need. And so it really is about bringing our stories and our voices into this space. Young Pacific people are important in these negotiations because it's our young people that will have to carry the burden of the future, whether it's within the climate crisis, whether it's in the frameworks that are set here, or our people altogether. And so it's important that our future are part of the conversations that are shaping our future.
Representing Fiji, Gabriel Mara shared his story and the reality of how devastating it is to witness losing your way of life.
1.5 to stay alive, for me personally, means keeping my communities, keeping my village, keeping my ancestors' land, keeping what we've known for generations intact, and for my future generations, for our future generations. It is retaining what we have had for generations. Beyond that, it is the loss of it. For Fiji, climate change, the impacts of it, is really hitting us hard. Communities are facing the brunt of it. Relocating communities, freshwater integrity being compromised, coastal degradation. Apart from this, there is intense and more frequent cyclones. Everything we used to face, but now more intense and more frequent. Fiji, like the Pacific, is really being the hardest hit and at the front line of this. It is not even just a line, a one-liner at these big conferences. It is actually our reality and our daily life.
The aspirations and expectations presented from representatives from the region reflected a unified voice of concern.
My name is Tony Kabasi. And I'm from Solomon Islands, and I'm the Deputy Secretary to the Prime Minister in the Office of the Prime Minister and Cabinet of Solomon Islands. So I think we are stronger together than individually in terms of approaching the COP meetings. I think our collective voice as one blue Pacific, I think we are always regarded as small island states, but in fact we are big ocean states. So I think the amplifying our voice through crop mechanism, I think, or crop platforms coming to COP, I think it's very, very important for us. I think it's paramount that we approach these meetings collectively so that we can voice our collective position in this type of negotiations and subsequently this type of meetings.
Stephen Victor, the Minister of Agriculture, Fisheries and Environment with the Palau National Government, stressed that the inevitable plight of his island nation of Palau can no longer be ignored on the global stage.
So for Palau's expectation for this COP 27 is ensuring that we see more actions that are committed to be taken by developed countries toward reducing global emissions. And we hope that there will be more financing available in easier way for small island state to access in implementing adaptation activities on the ground, and so that we can continue to build our resilience as communities, as small island nations. That is what I expect from COP27. Like many Pacific Island, we're experiencing sea level rise. We have coastal areas that are being inundated, that are being washed away. We see taro pots being inundated, crops dying. Just last week, we experienced a typhoon that we have not experienced before, destroying homes, destroying crops, impacting our power lines. We see seawater warming, leading to corals who are actually bleaching right now. And we see more rain than we've seen before, but we're also experiencing more droughts.
During the global event, the regional solidarity was evident, and the concerns of the Pacific region was a true reflection of the need to protect our blue Pacific continent.
At COP27, some of the main questions around climate finance have been issues of availability, predictability, and access. So, for example, countries are asking for more climate finance to be made available through different modalities. They're asking that the climate finance be more predictable in terms of the flows of how much is coming and when it's coming. And they're asking for more direct access, whereby countries are able to access the finance themselves and make decisions on how that climate finance is used to address their climate change priorities. If strong decisions can be made on these topics, it would allow Pacific countries to advance their climate change agendas and be able to implement their priorities at the local level where the climate action is needed.
On November 8, 2022, the COP27 presidency launched the Sharm el-Sheikh Adaptation Agenda, which outlines 30 adaptation outcomes to enhance resilience for 4 billion people living in the most climate-vulnerable communities by 2030. The presidency also in its final statement said that this comes as research warns that nearly half the world's population will be at severe risk of climate change impacts by 2030, even in a 1.5 degree world.
Pacific Way is made possible by the member states of the Pacific Community. Additional support is provided by the Australian Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, the New Zealand Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade, and the Government of France.